Thank you for tuning in to the Rescue Mission Podcast, where we talk about real topics that affect real people. I'm your host, Caroline, with my co-hosts, Matt and Jay today. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Great.
We have Dusty. Dusty is a Rescue Mission. I forget your title and I already butchered it.
It's so many big
Director Operations, Jack of All Trades.
Senior Vice President of Operations.
Grand Poobah.
Senior Vice President of Operations. So we're joined by Dusty today. Matt knows him very well. They said they started.
Yeah, it was... Dusty was an intern. I was officially like a real person, but Dusty has now
2 days a week is official.
Dusty has now made what, like 6 or 7 different moves upward. Oops. To my one. He tried to bring me along at every step and I said no.
Yeah. I've been trying to give Matt my job since I
Matt, you don't want it?
No.
Yeah.
Nope. So I've seen how hard he works. I don't want it.
Okay, Dusty, we know a little bit about you. I don't know that much, but can you just tell the listeners who is Dusty, about yourself, how you came to the Rescue Mission?
Well, it all started back when I was probably about 7 years ago. My wife had a job opportunity and it brought us to Fort Wayne. So we packed up the family and relocated, and I happened to be pursuing my education to finish up my education. So I started Ivy Tech. Part of the deal with Ivy Tech was an internship. And so I wrapped up an internship with the Urban League and was offered an internship at the Rescue Mission and came here and did about 6 months as an intern. At the end of that, Pastor Sharon sat me down and said, "We want you to come work here." I had a pretty decent job working somewhere else. We went to the gala and my wife just leaned over and said, "I think this is where you belong." So we made a decision to take a huge cut in pay and
it's worth it, right?
Come do some work.
And a long string of listening to your wife when she tells you.
Yeah. Yeah. So now I have a stack of various positions and business cards that I've, you know, I started as an intern and went to RCS. I think we called it different back then.
But who knows?
And then I became a life coach, and then I became a vocational coordinator. Then I became a director of vocational. Then I became a senior vice president and senior vice president. I was program operations. I've been operations. I have some cards to say I was a house manager, but I never was actually house
manager. It still counts. Yeah, pick up the card.
You could use all those cards to like shim.
Free lunch.
Shim some stuff.
Drop them in the free lunch bowl.
There you go. There you go.
As I go through town, I'm like, free. Yeah, it's been a heck of a journey. Yeah, there's not too much around here besides marketing and finance and fundraising. I really have probably done everything else.
I mean, you can join our team. We won't say no if you want to dabble with marketing. You're welcome to.
He is dabbling right now by hopping on the podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We'll give you a business card for this one too.
Yeah.
So obviously 6 years, a lot of position. What are some things you've learned along the way during your time here, either personal growth or just about the job?
Patience is literally a virtue. I've learned that. I've never worked in the nonprofit sector before, and having a business mind in a nonprofit place, things don't happen as fast as you kind of want them to or expect them to. And it takes a little while to understand the processes of how things kind of fall into place and how they come to be. And that was very difficult in the beginning because they're like, "Hey, here's your tasks for the next 3 months." And I'm like, on Friday, "Here you go. What now?" Slow down a little bit, Turbo. And so I just really had to learn how to slow down and examine, like, you know, how to become a good steward of Rescue Mission resources. And really, my job has always been to eliminate anybody's excuse of why they couldn't do their job. Mm-hmm. That's really what I focus on. So be kind to the generous donations that are given to us and make sure that our staff has everything that they need to do what they need to do. It's been pretty fantastic. I've seen a lot of people come and go for various reasons, and the people that stay are, you know, here for the right reasons. I've never worked anywhere else where I've witnessed humanity at its finest like I have at the Rescue Mission. Some of the stuff I would see from Matt and our other coworkers, as they would love on the people that would come to us for help, is just beyond anything you could ever imagine anywhere else in this life. You know, like, they do things that most people would not even consider. So it's a servant leadership. I've read about it, got a master's degree in it, and honestly worked a lot of places that said they do it. it wasn't really until I came to the rescue mission that I got to actually see it in action.
That was going to be part of like a follow-up question is like, you didn't just happen in a vacuum, right? You didn't just like, you know, work for the Urban League. Like, what brought you to sort of like the field of education, the thrust of what you were working on? And what is your actual degree besides like the guy who gets stuff done?
Well,
a BS.
It started a life before Jesus, you know, Dusty had a life before Jesus and pretty turbulent.
BC.
And BC. Yeah, it was pretty turbulent and, you know, it involved addiction and then ultimately a recovery story. And during that recovery story, I got to work with a lot of individuals and I happened to be on this team of a bunch of kids that were in college. And I was like, yeah, I'm 40 years old. And I have a GED. Got all these kids working for me that.
You're the adult in the room.
Master's degrees, you know, and I'm like, I'm the shot caller and I have zero. And one day one kid asked me, he was like, you know, I'd always tell him like, if you have a problem, do something about it. And they're like, I was telling the only regrets I really ever had was not doing better in school and completing school. And he said, well, what did you do about it? And I was like, dang.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Like, I've done nothing. So
he yelled at the kid and told him to get out of his
house. Yeah. So
you're done.
Yeah. So I had a meeting with some people that I trusted and talked to them about their path and just started school. So I have a associate's degree in human services, a bachelor's in psychology, and then a master's in organizational leadership. And those were all obtained while employed at the rescue mission.
Wow.
So
come to the rescue mission, get your degree.
It's a great place to go to school while you work, you know? Mm-hmm. It really is. They're extremely supportive. You know, the rescue mission has been kind to me with my pursuit of education. So that's a fact. I still suggest that if you have the opportunity, go to school while you are being supported by a family instead of when you are supporting a family. So, yeah, I was pretty proud. That's a pretty proud moment because 14 years, I got my GED. And then 14 years later, I got my master's degree, you know, so it was a grind. And
yeah.
You know, a lot of people sacrificed for me to do that grind. So thank you, honey.
She doesn't listen to the podcast.
She doesn't listen. She doesn't listen to me when I talk at home. Like, definitely not going to tune into my podcast. Yeah. So.
Can you just share a little bit, like, what all does operations entail? Because it's a really vague title, I think, for everything that you actually do all the time.
We joke that we do what nobody else wants to do. And that's usually the truth. But the five departments that I directly oversee are food services, security, treasure house, so any social enterprises. I also have maintenance and
the front desk.
Well, the front desk is part of that now too. A vocational. We oversee the vocational programming. So vocational does pretty much all the cooking, cleaning, anything needed daily. So we do laundry, we do the kitchen, we do housekeeping, work at the store. You know, we work with the program guys. Our team walks alongside them and kind of pulls them along and teaches them different things. We have about 23 different certifications that the guys get during the vocational program. They split their day between 4 hours of class time and 4 hours of vocational work. And we try to move them around so they get different experiences. It also fills resume. You know, you backfill your resume with some of the work that we do. Plus, when they're in interviews, when they're talking about different things, they're really familiar with the language and they can speak, you know, worker terms. So it's pretty impressive watching somebody go through that. And all the stuff that we do on a daily basis is to keep this place clean. And, you know, we have 1,000 people in and out of here all day long, and just to keep the footprints off the pavement is a challenge. So the team does a really great job. Security has become something that has been really important to us lately. And, you know, we have a director of safety and security that's phenomenal and has changed the way we've done things. You know, it's every department plays its function, you know, and nothing like, we make sure the lights are on and the doors are open and things are clean and, you know, up to health code standards. Some days, you know, are fantastic. And some days are like, wow, okay, so pipes burst and
there's a little fire in the kitchen.
Yeah, you know, like,
can you, like, just as an interjection, can you talk just for a hot second about, you said a couple of comments the other day at a meeting about that fire and about the water and about some of those things. And I think what you said was, you know, we're, you saw somebody else in town who they were shut down for 3 days and they're not open 24 hours a day. And we got back in operation in like 5 hours.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. But the fires.
And not to boast, but just to give, you know, we give some people a sense of, I didn't realize until I came here and sat inside the walls and saw the stuff that went on, what really goes down here. I think people think that, oh, you let homeless people in your doors and then that's it and everything's fine. They come in and people just sit around. But that couldn't be further from the truth. So I don't know. I don't know if I have a question in there or not, other than just, you know, give us a sense of what the workload is, you know, because you got all the regular stuff and then you got the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I think you and I, you
the crazy outweigh the regular.
I think were you there? We were there the night that I unloaded the Ever 301, the fire extinguisher into the dumpster. A dumpster fire, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Some guy was walking past and threw in a...
flicked a cigarette. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unexpected, you know. That's, you know, we write plans for it and we have big, thick books behind desks and online and, you know, we have emergency action plans and things like that. But you never really know how you're going to handle it until you're in the moment. And that particular instance was about 9 o'clock at night and I just happened to be on the cameras and I was like, where is everybody going? Like everybody was leaving and then my phone rang and they were like, we have smoke and a heavy smell of burning plastic, but we can't locate the fire. And, you know, we have the Fort Wayne Fire Department is just tremendous. And yep. They were here in seconds and they were trying to locate the fire and it popped off in a closet and it blew out a head above that. Fire protection head, and it extinguished part of the fire with the help of the fire department. But that's when the real work started. Like we had 4 inches of water on the floor and going into the basement and, you know,
not to mention smoke, the smoke and the smell.
Yeah. And the health department was here immediately and gave us a list of things that we needed to accomplish if we wanted to open back up and let people back in. And, you know, it's like, I blinked my eyes and our maintenance team was here. Our safety and security officers were here at working, you know, the fire department and the police were working, took their jackets off and rolled up their sleeves and working right alongside with us, sweeping and mopping. And like, it was just a true effort. And, you know, we have to wipe down, we have to clean and then wipe down and then sanitize floors, walls, ceilings of the entire kitchen. Wow. And just put like every pot and pan, every fork, spoon, like anything in that vicinity had to be cleaned. And, you know, 6 hours later, like we're calling the health department. Can you come back in? And
were they impressed by your quick turnaround or?
Yeah. Like they're good to us. Like, yep. You know, like they're fair, you know, they're hard, but fair. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that they are. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff here that we could let slide, but we don't, because, you know, we want to respect them and what, you know, what's the right thing to do is what we want to be doing. And if we don't show the people that we attend to what the right thing is to do, then why are we here? You know, so in everything that we do, when we feed them, you know, when we shelter them, you know, when we're giving them hope, we have to do all things to the striving for excellence. You know, if we're not striving for excellence, I feel like we're failing. And, you know, it's easy to be overwhelmed. You know, our staff gets overwhelmed at times. And it's also easy to look next to you and see the person next to you just full of light and joy and just living for the Lord. You're just like, okay, I can do better. Sorry for my momentary lapse of whatever it was, and get back in there, you know? So there, the daily work is everything. Whether we're talking about, you know, just life in general, if you're not doing your daily work, you're going to have tough times. You know, you have to get up and you have to do your daily work. And that's the same with operations. Like we have certain things we have to do every single day just to make sure that we're prepared. So if something, you know, like when tragedy strikes, we're ready, you know?
Yep.
And we're not having to undo a bunch of things that we should have done already. So it's a good time. I have a tremendous, I mean, I can't even tell you how unbelievable the employees are. When I was asked to take this position, I had to do an interview, and one of the persons interviewing me said, "What is your superpower?" I said, "My superpower is my ability to surround me with talented people and allow them to be talented." And it demonstrates around me all the time. Like, you know, the work that they do is just fantastic. You know, like they don't complain. They just get in there and do it. And it's not glorious. It's not, you know, we don't walk away with trophies every day or parades or anything. Like, it's dirty and ugly and we see bodily fluids that you never want to ever see. And, yep. You know, you know, there's, it can be from saving somebody's life, laying on the sidewalk out front that just OD'd, all the way to, you know, carrying groceries to somebody's car, or, you know, it doesn't matter. My team just steps in and does what needs to be done.
And so. Would it be fair to say that you guys are like the offensive or defensive line of the rescue mission? You're never going to get noticed until you do something wrong.
I think that's a sports analogy.
It is a sports analogy. Yeah. I sport.
I can't think of any member of my team that even strives for credit. You know, like they don't ask for it. They don't, the ego's just not involved. Like they're here to serve and they're happy to serve. And, you know, there's times when we do stuff, and I know you have been there when you've done stuff, and
no.
Jay as well, you know,
Jay does stuff all the time.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. Like there's just, you know, everybody just steps up when they're asked to, and that you can't ask to be around any better people than having that willingness and just acceptance to the reality. Like, you know, we're helping people that really struggle to help themselves, and, you know, us showing the willingness to do whatever it takes and to go to any lengths is sometimes one of the most valuable lessons we can demonstrate is in our walk. You know, a lot of people talk, and I'd say that my team doesn't do a whole lot of talking. They do a lot of the walking. So,
oh, I've talked to some of them.
Well, that's all the coffee that Jay feeds them.
That's right. We're drinking the good stuff.
Coffee powwows in the morning.
I think it's interesting to hear you talk about your superpower of surrounding yourself with talented people and enabling them to be talented. I think of when I was pretty new in our residential care staff downstairs, there is a line that we would have access to called the on-call line. And this was for when decisions were just far too gray and you needed to phone in a friend to help you make a decision. And I would always get so frustrated when Dusty answered the phone because he would go, "Who's there with you?" I'd be like, "Ah, it's me, Matt, Ben, Charles." Like, okay, what do they think you should do? And I was like, I'm thinking in my head, like, this is why I called you, Dusty, because we don't know. Like, well, Matt wants to do this, Ben wants to do this, and Dusty's like, "You've got a good crew tonight. I trust that you guys are going to figure it out." And I would just be like,
"It's not what I wanted.
That's not what I needed when I called you. But what I did need was you to express that you believed in us, that we were capable of solving the problem to the point where now, in August of this year, it'll be like 4 years that I've been at the rescue mission, which is wild to think about. And when I start to struggle, when things get challenging here, when things get difficult, my wife will say, "When's the last time you sat down and talked with Dusty?" Because Dusty just has this effect of like, you always leave feeling encouraged after you talk with Dusty. Sometimes he may not have even answered the question that I came to him with, but I left feeling encouraged and it didn't even matter anymore what the question was. So I just want to honor you for that.
I like how you say sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's that mean?
I don't know.
Caroline, I know you had one more question, but can I ask?
No, you take it away.
Well, I just want to take. So I'm going to make sure I get this on every podcast. One of my bailiwicks is to see how we are connected to the fabric of the city and to, you know, our priorities for this year have come in. And one of the spear points of those is unity, and not just unity inside, but working towards unity within the city. And I know that there's been a ton of work probably in the past year to begin to be more connected outside of our building. And I know that you take some of the good and the bad that comes with that. So I wonder, maybe just, can you talk to the good side of that, of just being in relationship within a city and what that looks like? Remember, like, the good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, it's, you know, when you're talking that, you're talking politics, there's a lot of so many factors that play into all the decisions and the, you know, needs and opinions and of many different factors. You know, there's so many variables that are in that. So when we start looking at us, like the rescue mission, how do we minister outside of our four walls effectively, and what is needed? When we really think about the most effective way to minister is together, you know, so who are our partners in the community and how do we make them better at what they do and better at serving? We all serve the same community. So if they're at their peak potential, you know, they're doing the best they can do and we're doing the best we can do. it just makes it better for those that were attending. We've really worked hard on partnering with a lot of different agencies this year. We've done a ton of projects. I always tell them that when we do something for someone else, that that's their story to tell. It's not our story. We're not going to run around like, look at us, you know, but it's been pretty awesome. I just made a list for our senior leadership team the other day of about 10 projects that we've done in the last month. And it's just incredible the impact that we're being able to have and the collaborations that are coming from that. And, you know, like to help do a pop-up shelter in another small town, you know, just overnight, and to be able to serve, you know, a pretty good number of people almost instantly, and, you know, food or whatever it is that they need. Like if we have excess of resources that we can share and make their day better, that's what we've been doing. Sometimes it's, we really look at our time, talent, treasure and how we can, you know, put it out in the community and do really well. I know we were just invited to speak to the city council, and our CEO Thomas just addressed them and was in collaboration with a couple of other agencies in town. And that was kind of a special moment. You know, I don't know that we've always been invited to the table or accepted the invite to the table, however that would have worked. And so to really see that turn around and come in full circle is special. You know, we can't do this alone. You know, we have to do it together, and it's pretty special. Last night I attended a function for the city, and they actually awarded me and four other people an Unsung Hero Award.
Congratulations. So,
yeah, it's a super humbling and almost embarrassing to accept it, because we used to do this internal award. Maybe you remember the name of it, but you're like the best employee of the mission, and you'd get a plaque, you know, and nobody wanted to win it.
Nobody wanted the plaque.
Everybody around you is like
pictures on the
rowing the boat just as hard as you are, you know, and so you don't really want that, you know, even though my name's on that plaque, that just represents all the work that all the people in our organization are doing for the good of the city, for the good of downtown. You know, we take a lot of shrapnel for pretty much anything bad that happens downtown. And I really, sometimes I just wish they understood how hard we're working to do better, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, not perfect. Not yet. Anyway.
Yeah.
Always strive for it.
Striving.
Be a little bit better than we were yesterday is our goal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if we could bottle what you just said and, you know, repeat that a bunch of times, like the idea that a win for us, you know, a win for the city is a win for us.
Yeah.
You know, a win for any of the other organizations serving our community is a win for us. And that is gold.
I kind of want to go back. This is more of a personal question, but a couple minutes ago, you talked about the moments where you can get overwhelmed. So for you personally, you deal with a lot. How do you keep your cup full and kind of keep your calmness, both in personal life and the mission? How do you do that?
Well, I appreciate you thinking that I remain calm. So I hope that that's a true statement.
I have not seen otherwise yet.
Yeah, good. That's good. You know, like I have a personal daily practice that I do, and, you know, it's been something I've done for a long time, and it's really what kind of keeps me balanced. It reminds me of who I am, where I'm at, and what I'm, you know, what I'm striving for. And, you know, my personal relationship with Jesus has grown so much since I've came to the rescue mission. And, you know, part of that walk started a long time ago, and I had to return to man's embrace before I felt worthy of God's embrace. And, you know, part of that came through that daily work. I do that personal daily work every day. And, you know, it's pretty simple stuff. You know, like I heard an acronym the other day, joy, Jesus first, other second, yourself third. And if I walk along that, most of my life, I've sucked the joy out of anything I've done, you know, whether it was, you know, just bad attitude or ego or expectations, you know, resentments, all that stuff just sucks the joy out of stuff. So if I really walk in that, you know, if I trust God, be of service to others, and, you know, do what I need to do every day, like keep my side of the street clean, really, there's really no such thing as a big deal. You know, we had a pipe burst the other day, and it's like we had to vacuum some water up and mop and fix the pipe, you know, and everybody was like, the sky is falling. And I'm like, that's the worst thing that happens all day.
Okay, you know, like it's a good day.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day. So I have bad moments now. I used to have bad decades before, you know, or years. And now I can really, and you know, I don't do this by myself. I spent some time with Jay yesterday and chewed gum and talked about nothing. And, you know, I think both of us probably walked away from that feeling good. Like he shared that I'm a giver, you know, but honestly, in situations like that, like sometimes I take away more than I probably give. And that's how it is, you know, being of service. When you're of service to others, especially here when we work with the population that we work with. There's days where I go home and I'm probably the biggest winner of all because of the stuff that the self-awareness that I've taken away, or, you know, just the emotional intelligence that comes with it. You know, there's so much stuff that you can learn about yourself. And as long as you're willing to grow and accept things where they are, the sky's the limit, you know. And I always want to say I take criticism well, but I don't, you know. Like,
Does anybody really take it well?
You hurt my feelings, you know, and I get mopey. And I just am fortunate to have one of those faces that you don't really notice that I'm mopey. But when I get mopey, then you really know I'm mopey because I start breaking stuff.
But yeah, that's why I don't let him in my office anymore.
Yeah.
Everything's just broken one day.
Yeah. It really just comes down to doing what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, keeps me on track. And when I find myself off track, I have a group of friends that I trust and that I can confide in and that honestly are my friends and tell me the truth. And I'll be trying to tell a story or trying to sell a story and get power from it. And they're like, whoa, who are you talking to? You know, like, that's not true at all. And I'm like, I can't pull them. I can't get by with stuff, you know. And the longer you kind of surround yourself with people that are promoting you and pushing you forward, the better you get, you know. And that's kind of how our team works. You know, everybody just kind of supports each other and pushes each other forward. And when you feel somebody's shoulders drooping a little bit, you just kind of walk up behind them and pull them up and tell them you got this, you know, you're killing it. It's always teamwork and collaboration and such.
Well, thank you for coming on today, Dusty, taking time out of your day with bursting pipes and everything else.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
I didn't hear any fire alarms during this.
This is a good safe
early
segment.
Right. It's early. It's
Jay,
not even noon yet.
Matt,
I think this was good.
It was good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to the Rescue Mission Podcast. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.